Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Recap Show. I'm your host, Abies Yeezus, and joining me, as always, is Joe, the analytics Matt. Just going to say the analytics. I have had a rough time with analytics this week. I feel like a lot of people who are using analytics are actually just using it as an excuse to make poor decisions.
All right. Well, if we're talking about one coach in particular, I'm on his side. So,
and what coach would that be?
But, you know, I'm always on Brandon Staley's side. He's my guy.
I ain't worried about him, man. He does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But
no, we'll get into it with Harbaugh that he did make a mistake. But
I rock with Staley for the simple fact that he owns what he does, which you can't say about some people.
Yeah, he doesn't run away from it. He knows.
But we start with the Chiefs and the Chargers, which was a very big game. You know, I said last week if the Chargers or if the Chiefs covered this game, that I would consider them back, and they did. They won in overtime. Patrick Mahomes had 410 yards, and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill somehow combined for, if I'm doing my math right, 339 of the 410 yards. Can I ask you a question, man? Why does every AFC West team act like they've never played the Chiefs before and just refuse to run the defense that slows them down?
The one thing I'll say in defense of the Chargers is, if I'm recalling correctly, Kelce only had like two receptions in this game while Derwin James was on the field. He wasn't really doing anything. And then as soon as Derwin James went out, he became a god among men. So that, you know, not a total defense. You shouldn't suddenly become completely incapable of covering Travis Kelce at all. But when Derwin James was out there, this was a different ballgame.
Say what you want to say, but Tyreek Hill still had 12 catches for 148 yards, man. Like, they got 26 targets between the two of them, and they had 22 catches. You cannot beat the Chiefs like this. Like, you have to pick your poison, and damn, man, they both can't get off.
Why Brandon Staley's going for it on all these fourth downs, because he's like, shoot, the Chiefs are back again. They're good. I need touchdowns. So, you know, obviously they came up short here, but they came up barely short. You know, again, they lost in overtime. If, you know, that end of the first half, if they score a touchdown on that play, they win this game. So, you know, it's a game of inches, as Al Pacino let us all know back in the day. Yeah. But, you know, I'm with you, though. This was Kansas City. The offense finally looked good against a team that wasn't the Raiders. You know, defense came up with just enough plays against Los Angeles team that has been showing up big on offense with Justin Herbert. So it was huge because now they're the one seed. If they'd lost this game, the Chargers would be leading the AFC West. So in this muddled playoff field, every game matters. And this one was huge for Kansas City.
Every game they talk about cover two shells. Every single game.
No, you're right.
You can watch all 22s. You can look. You don't even have to be an expert. My four-year-old can watch the film and see, like, maybe I should do what everybody else is doing and slows this team down. But I'm talking every single AFC West team is like, fuck that, man. Single high.
Chargers and the Broncos don't always go single high. They'll switch it up. I mean, Fangio and Staley most of the time. I don't know. I didn't actually catch this game, but I know both of them are usually very high up on the rankings for most too high looks defensively. And then the Raiders are just Gus Bradley's only going to run single high because that's what Gus Bradley does.
Yeah, Gus Bradley's an idiot. That's probably
exactly.
But what you're telling me is that the Chargers just are what I figured they were, slightly overrated, just slightly.
Yeah, I think this is a team where, you know, again, this is year one under Staley. It's year two with Herbert. If they can add the right pieces to this team and Herbert, I mean, Herbert's better than he was last year. And if that progression continues, this is a legit contender next year. right now they're a team that could beat anybody, but they're still, they don't have that consistency yet to where they need to be up there with the Kansas City Chiefs and the other elite teams who may all be in the NFC, but we'll see.
So I am in agreement with you. I mean, he left 9 points on the board, 3 field goal attempts, you know, generally.
But they also scored a touchdown on one of the ones he could have kicked a field goal. So really you got to subtract those 4. So he left 5 points on the board is the way
I was going to say, generally speaking, like it shouldn't come down to that. Like you shouldn't expect to beat a good team like the Chiefs offense like the Chiefs. You shouldn't expect to beat them with multiple field goals. It is what it is at this point. Chiefs are now ranked number 1. They have the 1 seed, which, goddamn, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were talking about, man, they might not even make the playoffs. Wouldn't that be wild? And then they're number 1. Chargers are now the 6th seed, but holding strong in a very, very, very tight AFC playoff hunt.
Right now, yeah, if the playoffs started this week, we'd have the Chargers facing the Titans. And I don't think it would matter if that game's in Tennessee. Chargers would be the clear favorites. So, Chargers, you know, again, anything can happen in these playoffs.
Chargers roll into this week, taking on the 3-11 Texans. Shouldn't be a problem. Chiefs roll into this week, taking on the 7-6-1 Steelers, who desperately need to win out because of that tie. I like both teams to win this week. Unless COVID comes about with the Chiefs, because I think Kelce's
COVID. Obviously, if there's a late-breaking COVID thing and Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, that changes. But, I mean, shoot, the Chargers might be able to win that game with half their team against the Texans. All due respect to Houston.
No due respect to Houston. Patriots, Colts, that's right, baby. My Colts are back, and I say my Colts because when they were like 1-4, I was saying that they were better than their record.
We believed in this team, and they've come through for us.
They have come through. When you ask Daniel Jones, wow. When you ask Mac Jones to win the game for you, he shows that he's still a rookie. Bless his heart. Did make a valiant effort to come back, but I do believe he threw a pick six or an interception or something to kind of seal the game for the Colts. This is one of those games where, honestly, from a gambling aspect, you look at it as it's situational. Like, both teams coming off a bye. I've always thought the Colts match up very well against the Patriots, just stylistically.
I think we saw that.
And if you look at the games where the Patriots have struggled a little, it's always been against run-heavy teams. Even though their defense is very stout, the teams that typically can pound the ball and get significant chunks on the ground have given them kind of fits this year. So if they played this week, or if it was switched and the Colts went to Foxborough, you probably see a very tight Patriots win. But it's a big win for the Colts. I wouldn't read too much into it if I was a Patriots fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest worry for the Patriots is just that this is a team that's been winning, as we definitely saw in that Bills game, by winning at the offensive line and defensive line, just winning the trenches. And the Colts dominated the trenches in this game, which they're set up to do, especially on offense. This is, when healthy, one of the best offensive lines in football. I mean, they carved out 226 yards on the ground total. You know it was bad because Carson Wentz, his PFF grade was a 26.7 grade. So one of the worst performances PFF's ever graded for a QB in a win. 5 of 12 for 57 yards and a pick, and they won by 10. You know, the Patriots got owned in the trenches, and they gave up a blocked punt. You know, Patriots, Bill Belichick, every year this is a team with elite special teams. Colts won the special teams battle. They won with the big guys, and that was enough. So they could, you know, if, again, like you said, if this game swaps and it's Carson Wentz having to win the game and Mac Jones is the one with the team that's running the ball down Indy's throats, then, yeah, it ends differently. But the Colts got out to the lead, and that's all they needed.
I was told that, you know, when a quarterback does what's best for the team, regardless of his stats, that makes him solid. So Carson Wentz had a solid performance. Patriots were the one seed at one point, but now they're the two seed at 9-5. New life to the Bills, who are 8-6, and that's who they have in the big game this yeah. week. Patriots versus Bills. And then if you look at the Colts are number 5. They've got a pretty big game too, going against the Cardinals at 10-4. It's crazy that they're their schedule does not get easy for them. But the Titans also have a big game this week, and we could see a potential flip in that division of the AFC South. Panthers took on the Bills, if you want to call it taking on the Bills. Got beat 31-14. You know, we'll be quick. The Cam thing is over for Cam, man. I'm sorry. I think it's official.
The one thing I'll say in his defense is the Panthers have about as bad an offensive line as anyone in the NFL does. So, you know, he's not given much opportunity here with that O-line. He took 4 sacks in this game. I mean, really, he had to provide the whole offense. He ran for 71 yards. But, yeah, the Panthers are just a mess in general. Nice get-right game for the Bills. That, yeah, sets them up for the big game this week where they win that one. I believe they take over first place over the Patriots. So, yeah, right there.
Man, at one point, I really said that the Panthers were like a sleeper team. God, I'm glad.
Dude, I believed it too for a minute.
I'm glad I didn't say that like where it was recorded. We've already went over the Bills playoff chances, so we don't have to go over that again. I think it's safe to say the Panthers are mathematically eliminated. Where they go from here, I don't know. And I'm talking
find a QB.
Where do you find a QB? Where?
I mean, if there's one in the draft they like,
imagine being forced to trade up for Pickett in the draft. Like,
maybe the move is, I mean, they've already got Darnold on contract for next year. Maybe you just draft O-line so that next year, after you go 5-12 again, you're in position to take a QB and have a functioning team around him. Maybe that's the move. Just throw away next season.
I don't know if Rule has that luxury, actually.
I don't know that he does it either, but I think that might be the best long-term move.
On our wrap-up show, we'll definitely touch on that. Jets, Dolphins, the only reason why we're going to cover this is because somehow the Dolphins are not mathematically eliminated. I did jokingly say, I think after the Ravens game, like, wouldn't it be funny if they went on a run and somehow backdoored into the playoffs?
Six straight,
man. You know, my man Flores, if there's one thing Flores can do, he can get his team to rally around his coaching philosophy. So,
They didn't make this one easy, though. Tua threw the late pick six to tie the game up. He had 2 interceptions in this game. He'd been playing pretty well. This game was not a good week for Tua. No reason that, again, Zach Wilson, no picks again.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zach Wilson, we have to celebrate.
Making progress.
Is that 2 games in a row, no interceptions?
Now, I think that's just because he ate the ball every time he got pressured. He took 6 sacks, but Tua had 2 picks. Zach Wilson had 0, and that's why it was a pretty close game till the end here. And then eventually, you know, what's going to happen to New York football teams happened. So,
hey, and you know what? Sometimes taking the sack is all right. Word to Matt Ryan. All right. yeah, Dolphins right now are towards the bottom of the AFC playoffs. But listen, on the bubble right now in the A spot are the Ravens at 8-6, the Steelers 7-6-1, and then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 teams at 7-7. So if, God forbid, if the Bills lose to the freaking Patriots and the Ravens lose to the Bengals and the Steelers, I don't really think it matters what they do, but if if the Dolphins win, they could potentially be the they could jump about 4 spots. Now, Broncos have to take on the Raiders, so that'll kind of separate itself. But the Browns have the
Packers. They actually do currently have the tiebreaker over the Broncos and the Browns among the 7-7 teams because they have a better in-conference record. Yeah. So.
And I was gonna cover that as well. When we get to the Cowboys, Buccaneers, and Packers situation, somebody had asked me offline, Cardinals, Buccaneers, Cowboys. Somebody asked me why. There is a three-way tie, it goes to the best conference record, and both the Buccaneers and Cardinals have lost all four of their games in the conference. Cowboys have only lost one conference game, to my knowledge. So
that is correct.
Yeah, so that is why it's like that. Speaking of the Cardinals, wow. What? I would have in my life thought that meathead Matt Campbell could win a game against such a innovator as my man Cliff. Like, what the fuck, man? I get it. They're going through some things health-wise. I know that Hopkins is hurting, but you still got enough weapons on
the team. Yeah, there's no excuse for this.
There's no excuse for losing to the Lions. And the crazy part is that I'm utterly disgusted at the Cardinals' defense, like how they gave up 30 points. So what do you think about this Cardinals team? Because I'm going to tell you right now, history tells me that teams that trend down in December don't recover in January.
Yeah, it's very rare. I mean, I can remember the one year that the Giants actually seemed to be cruising, and then obviously everyone remembers Plaxico Burress shot himself in a bar, and the team lost three of our last four games, had the bye week, didn't matter, immediately lost to the Eagles. The Cardinals, the worry for them is they're not coasting towards, you know, easy home field. They've got the Rams on their ass. Like, they're tied now. The Cardinals do hold the tiebreaker because they're 4-1 in the division. But, yeah, this team should be very concerned because before you could look at it, you could be like, well, you know, they lost to the Panthers, but Kyler wasn't in that game. Hopkins wasn't in that game. Losing to the Rams by 7, that's not a big deal. Rams are obviously a good team. I mean, they lost by 18 to the Lions. This wasn't like, oh, they got edged out at the end. Lions made a late field goal or there was a weird turnover. I mean, they just got their butts handed to them in this game. You know, Jared Goff looked good, which that shouldn't happen if your defense is good. There was a point in this game. I'm trying to find it here. The Cardinals, they went for it. Fourth and goal from the 3 with 2 minutes left in the first half. They went for it, as I think you should in that situation, down 10-0. One of the reasons you go for it there is because if you don't get it, you assume your defense will make a stop and you'll get the ball at midfield. The defense let the Lions go 9 plays, 97 yards in the final 2 minutes of that half to go up 17-0. If you're a contender, that shouldn't happen against a team that's going into that game with one win. And Kyler hasn't looked right since coming back, I don't think, either. So that's as big a worry as you can have, is your quarterback doesn't look like he's ready to go.
Yeah, he hasn't looked right. And, I mean, the only thing I can say is that the Cardinals have been such a good team on the road since Cliff Kingsbury has been there that there's really no excuse for this game. And I'm willing to give them a pass and just say, you know, maybe they were off. It's an awful time to be off. But they were 7-0 in road games before this. Now they're 7-1. So it's not necessarily that I want to hit the panic button just yet. It's just that, like you said, the Rams are on their ass. They haven't looked good even in the last couple wins. And now Hopkins is presumably out until playoffs. So,
they have the Colts on Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they're going at Cowboys. Those are their next two games. This very easily, this could be a team that's 10-6 needing to win in Seattle. To make sure, I guess 10 wins probably gets you into the playoffs, but yeah, I mean, they're up against it here. I'll have to look at the Rams schedule, but you know, the Cardinals might be underdogs to win the division at this point. Yeah. And credit to Dan Campbell, that team is fighting every single week. Like, this is a team that could have given up. They've won, is that 2 in a row or 2 of their last 3? I can't remember.
The hell if I know, honestly. I can't.
Right? The Lions take up so little of my brain.
I know. Same here.
Yeah, two of their last three. They got blown out by the Broncos. I'll give them two of their last three. Beating the Vikings and Cardinals, who are probably two playoff teams.
They've been gnawing at the kneecaps, is what he had said
before.
So, Cardinals are number four in the playoff hunt right now. It is a three-way tie at number four. So let's say they win their next two games, and one of those being the Cowboys, they could presumably be as high as the number two seed. Or if they lose two games, they could be as low as actually the six seed, because the Niners are 8-6 as well.
I was going to say, I've been looking at the Niners. They got the Titans and Texans the next 2 weeks. If they win two, Cardinals lose two.
Dang Cooper.
I mean, the Cardinals could drop all the way to six, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep talking trash on the Niners because they've been doing good. Texans, Jags, as you said, all we can take from this game is that the Jags are still bad even when Urban Meyer's gone. So,
yeah.
There you go. Hey, congratulations to Davis Mills. I think that's his first win.
That is, I believe that's correct. All Davis right. Mills. So
congratulations. I like the kid. Just not very
good. Yeah, I'm rooting for him.
Cowboys, 21, Giants, 6. Woo! Listen, everybody. What a game. Relax. The Cowboys are okay. They're okay for now. It's not pretty. I get it. But the defense has gotten healthy and shown that they can get stops when needed. Your run game was a little bit better this week. And honestly, in the past couple weeks, it hasn't mattered who they've played. They struggled running the ball. But this week, collectively, they got average 4.2 yards a carry. Pollard was averaging 6 yards a carry. So, again, there is hope. Okay? There is hope. But Dak Prescott and this offense has to start taking what people are giving them. And that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, who would have thought that in December we'd be like, hey, I feel really good about the Cowboys defense. But what's going on with the offense? Like, that's the reverse, I think, of what literally everyone, probably including most of the Cowboys, thought going into this season. But yeah, that defensive front is fearsome. If you make a mistake, those DBs will take the ball away. I mean, obviously, it helps when you play Mike Glennon because he makes lots of mistakes. But, you know, we've seen them. They've looked good against most teams, including ones with good quarterbacks. So, yeah, I feel great if I'm the Dallas Cowboys about their defense. And, yeah, I'd still, you know, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm feeling pretty good. Obviously, you're the number two seed right now. You know, what you're most worried about is will Dak end up playing well, I feel pretty good. Dak Prescott is at minimum a top 10 QB. Yeah, they got Washington next week. You know, I know that last Washington game got close at the end, but they are clearly the better team pretty much that whole game. That should be a win. The Cardinals, you get them at home. They're, I don't know what's going on with the Cardinals. And then you get the Eagles to finish it off. You know, if you're Dallas, yeah, you're thinking at minimum you should be going in as the two seed. And you're hoping Green Bay slips up and maybe you can slip into that one seed.
Yeah, Dallas is in a good spot. I do believe they clinched their division. If they beat the John Does, I think they'll clinch their division, which would be a great thing for them. And at that point, honestly, you're a lock to get in, and now you're just essentially playing for a potential one seed. They do have the Washington football team 6-8 coming in next week. They will be desperate because they probably need to win out in order to get into the playoffs. And so they are behind the Saints, who are 7-7, the Eagles, who are 7-7, the Vikings, who are 7-7. So to get at least 7 wins would be very crucial.
Yeah, I think with 9 teams sitting at 500 or better right now, I would be surprised if a team with a losing record makes the playoffs, which, again, everyone except for the Steelers will end up with a winning or losing record this year. So, yeah, if you're Washington, it's got to be win out from this point.
Speaking of the Steelers, somehow, some way, they just find a way in the fourth quarter. Man, they have been solid in the fourth quarter the last couple weeks. I keep trashing Big Ben, and I'm even on record saying I don't think they win more than 8 games, so it's getting kind of tight for me too.
But, they're destined 8-8-1.
I'm hoping so. But they had a big win at home against the Titans. They will be playing the Chiefs next week, and then the Titans will be taking on the 49ers. So Titans are the number 3 seed right now. Steelers are looking at the number 9 seed, which obviously isn't a seed, but they're ranked number 9 right now with potential to get into the 7 seed. But they honestly have to probably win out the rest of the season.
I mean, you got to be kicking yourself if you're the Titans with this game, where they're up 13-10. There's a minute to go in the third quarter. They lose a fumble. Next possession, interception. Next possession, lost the fumble. Final possession, lose the ball on downs. So 4 straight possessions, they turn the ball over to end this game, and they lose by 6. And again, it's not like the Steelers were slamming the door on them. The Steelers just kept kicking field goals.
Yeah.
So this is a game where, yeah, if you're Tennessee, this is one you feel like you should have had. This should have helped you pretty. I think 10 wins, well, that pretty much would have locked up the division, because they have the tiebreaker over the Colts because they swept that season series. But this leaves the door open for Indy, and yeah, it leaves the door open for Pittsburgh to sneak in and steal one of those final playoff spots.
The Titans almost had double the yardage that the Steelers had. They had 318, Steelers had 168, and they lost by 6. So that lets you know, man, how that game went.
You shouldn't lose a game to this version of the Steelers when you only allow 35 rushing yards. Because now we can say Big Ben didn't lose this game, but 148 yards and 25 passes, he didn't win this game either.
They had the ball for 19 more minutes as well. That's crazy. I would love to see a stat on how often teams with that kind of advantage lose. Bengals squeaked out a win against the Broncos, 15-10. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, big one.
But they got the win. 8-5 Bengals. I mean, we could consider this a bounce back. I think it's a bigger win than most people are making the case for. But the Bengals are now in the driver's seat for the playoffs. They jumped 5 spots off that win. Now they're 8-6 in the number 4 seed. And division leaders, thanks to the Ravens dropping their game. So, again, they are in the driver's seat. If they beat the Ravens, they more than likely will lock up the division.
Yeah, a tough one for Denver. Teddy Bridgewater got knocked out of the game, which, to be fair, the offense did not look good with Teddy Bridgewater out there. I think this game probably ends the same way. But, and he's out again this week, so get ready for some more Drew Lock, which is mostly exciting if you have a fantasy defense playing against Drew Lock. But tough draw for them. But, yeah. Bengals, they gritted this one out. This is one they had to have. You can't lose 3 straight right now. And yeah, they came back. They did it. Now they get the Ravens, who are reeling right now. Although, I guess, the way the Ravens are going, this game will come down to a 2-point conversion. So we'll see how that happens here. So, but yeah, they basically lock it up. They're tied right now. They have the tiebreaker. They're in the lead. So, yeah, win this game. And against, I think all odds, none of us really saw this one coming. Cincinnati could be winning the division and head to the playoffs.
I definitely didn't see this coming, but like, kudos to them.
I love Joe Burrow. I was a fan of the Ja'Marr Chase pick, even over Sewell. But I did not think this team was going to be knocking down the door of the playoffs here.
Yeah, at this point, I just kind of have to stand on that. And then hopefully at some point down the line, I can say, see, I told you. But yeah, I mean, Chase hasn't been like lighting the world up the last 4 weeks or so.
No, he hasn't.
But that's part of the nature of the position. It's, but.
And so, T. Higgins is really good, too, which I think people were. He was lost in the shuffle early on this season, but he's shown that that's a legitimate 1-2 in that offense.
Yeah, I feel like Sewell could have been beneficial.
I mean, there was no losing with that pick. Both of those guys are really good.
So we've got the Falcons at the Niners. If you have this dyslexia, the score is 31-13, no matter how you look at it. But the Niners won, and you know, they're 8-5. I've been trashing them for at least the last 6 weeks. So I will continue to trash them and say I don't know. I gotta have something to complain about in this game. Oh,
complain about Jimmy in this one.
At one point it was 17-10. That is completely unacceptable. but no, I won't complain about Jimmy. I won't complain about our boy Kyle being too conservative. Everything honestly is just going great right now. And I hope we stay healthy and continue. And what I like to see, 21 carries by a running back. 21 carries, people. We threw the ball 23 times, and we've got one person who had 21 carries. That is the way the offense should be run, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, this game, I think, went the way most of us expected it to. I mean, Garoppolo played even better than you'd expect. 235 yards on 23 dropbacks. That's as efficient as it gets. George Kittle remains as good of a tight end as anyone in the NFL. And then defensively, they just overwhelmed the Atlanta offensive line. Matt Ryan was under constant pressure. He took 3 sacks. It easily could have been double that in this one. Yeah, San Francisco looks good. Again, Atlanta, they beat the teams they're supposed to. They get blown out by the teams that they're not supposed to. So, as expected.
Atlanta, not mathematically eliminated yet. At 6-8, if they potentially win out and get 9 wins, they could see themselves in the 7th seed. So, not mathematically out.
Not mathematically out, although as our friend Keith is aware, dead last in DVOA for Football Outsiders. They have this as the worst team in the NFL, and they have 6 wins. So I don't know if that means Arthur Smith is a good coach. I don't know if that means this is just entirely fluky that they have 6 wins, but this is not a very good team, but they can beat other bad to mediocre teams.
They're the best of the worst. How about that?
And that sounds right.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. The problem is while they do have the Lions this week and the Saints week 18 now is how it works.
Yeah,
they have a game at the Bills. So I think they may not be mathematically eliminated, but unless Cole Beasley gives Josh Allen COVID, I think it's safe to say the Falcons will be eliminated when they play Buffalo.
Yeah, Niners need to help themselves out and just win out to make it easy. But, you know, I personally wouldn't mind a matchup against the Packers early in the playoffs. I always enjoy having people.
I was going to say, post Brett Favre, I think every
49ers
fan feels that way about Green Bay.
Yeah, before that, though, if we had to travel to Lambeau, it was a death sentence for sure. Packers-Ravens, 31-30. Let's go ahead and just get to it. All right, so I have no issue with going for 2. I have no issue with going for 2. I have issues with the play that they ran, which seems to be a common theme.
That's definitely the common theme with you and them on 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I mean, well, the first time against the Steelers, I was like, it's stupid to have Lamar throwing essentially a route that requires pinpoint accuracy with the receiver fading away from him. And in this case, I'm saying it's stupid to roll Huntley to one side, which essentially, like, it was like a short field. They rolled him to the short field. There's no place for Andrews to go but front pylon. And if that's the case, you call the timeout, tell your backup quarterback, look, if you can see the numbers on the cornerback, look back inside, because you probably want to throw to the back of the end zone to the guy dragging across the field. Even better, the safety cheated straight to Andrews.
So he did.
Left a huge hole.
Because he knew.
That left a huge hole in the back of the end zone. And the guy was in a trail technique because they were playing man-to-man, essentially. And the guy was in a trail technique on the slot receiver and beat by a good 3 yards. That's a conversion. But I'm like, you know, it wasn't executed properly. Yes, he's a backup, but again, I feel like that should have been explained to him.
Yeah, obviously, I tend to be more angry at coaches about decision making, you about play calls, but I'm definitely with you on this one. It's one of my pet peeves. I hate taking away half of the field, especially when you have a mobile QB. The last two touchdowns they scored in this game were Tyler Huntley runs. Mm-hmm. So don't limit him to one side of the field. And then, yeah, now you're asking your backup QB to make the perfect read when obviously we all knew Mark Andrews was who the play was designed for. So the defense knew. So he's got to find someone else. He wasn't able to do it. But from a decision-making standpoint, I think most people don't think about this, but the analytics community is well aware of this situation. When you score the first touchdown to cut it to 9 points, or to 8 points, sorry, when you cut it to 8, you have the chance to kick an extra point and to cut it to 7, which is what Harbaugh chose to do with just under 5 minutes left. That's the time when you need to go for 2. Because if you miss that one, you can then convert a second attempt on the second touchdown to then tie the game back up. By waiting until the last touchdown to go for 2, that makes it winner take all on that play. There's no, like, unless, you know, you get a miracle onside kick, which is, they did 2 weeks ago or a week ago, but the odds of that are next to nothing. So always go for 2 earlier. Then when you score the next touchdown, you either kick the extra point for the win or you go for 2 again to get a tie. It's not, we're fucked as soon as we miss that 2 point for conversion. So that's where Harbaugh went wrong. Greg Roman went wrong in the play call, and yeah, now Baltimore's fighting for their lives.
I'm just tired of people calling timeouts and coming out with plays that just cannot possibly be the best play in your play.
I mean, what they always say in that situation, here's where you use your best play. Yeah,
that can't be the best play.
Well, that's the best play.
the best play would be, and yes, I'm armchair QBing here, and I don't know if I know how to freaking call plays, man. And I'm just saying, you like you had mentioned, they had gotten all their scores in the second half essentially off of Huntley's legs. Rollouts in the goal line situation like that are generally stupid. I'll be honest, no matter who the fucking quarterback is, it's stupid. Like, you're essentially cutting yourself off from the majority of the field. And how often, especially against a team like the Packers, how often are you going to find them in a position where they would be caught off guard when you've only got one real threat on that side of the field?
Right. The bizarre thing was how Green Bay seemed completely unable to cover Mark Andrews on those last two scoring drives. He would just like run 8 to 10 yards, turn around, and Huntley would throw the ball. And that just worked over and over again. I'm not sure what was going on with Green Bay defensively in this one.
In a short field, that shit ain't going to work. I mean, it is what it is. It's over.
Right. There's a reason Huntley ran in the two scores.
Yeah. I feel like he should have been given a more open formation and allowed to run or make a play in the middle of the field, which is what he had been doing the whole time.
But yeah, props to Tyler Huntley, undrafted QB, which I don't know about you. At the time, I thought that was kind of ridiculous that, like, I think it was 13 or 14 QBs got drafted that year, and he wasn't one of them. This is a guy who was very efficient at Utah. And as we saw in this game, he has legs, but came up a little short, and Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers in this game, and that's a problem for everybody else.
Yep. He was all right in college. You're right. He probably should have been drafted by somebody, but it is what it is. On to the game of the week, my favorite game that I watch every single minute of, the Saints 9, the Buccaneers 0. That's right. Tom Brady got shut the fuck out. Great. Nothing really to take from this game. I mean, the Buccaneers are still the better team. It's just one of those things where he just can't seem to get by the Saints like he just couldn't get by the Dolphins in Miami. I don't know what it is. It's just they just have some weird games. And then in this game, everybody around them got hurt, which didn't help. But I will say the one thing I wanted to touch on was something that Collinsworth was talking about and something I've seen throughout the league. Like, it's hard to play defense in the NFL, man. if you hit somebody, it's always a penalty, no matter how you hit them. You can't break the ball. You can't break the play up the right way. And then you're forced to kind of go low on people, because if somebody ducks after they catch the ball, you can get a helmet-to-helmet hit. And yeah, in this case, my man Godwin basically got his knee blown out. Thankfully, it wasn't worse than what it looked on TV when he got hit. But people are always like, you got to protect the players. You got to protect the players. What the hell, man? Like, you got to be understanding of defenders, too. Like, there's no other way for him to hit this man in those situations.
Yeah. I mean, that is the downside. Obviously, I think, you know, for everyone's long-term future, protecting the head is the most important thing. But, you know, this is one of the downsides to those rules. And, yeah, that's a huge loss for Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens with Antonio Brown, if that ever works out.
He back.
Is he officially back now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Bruce
Arians. I mean, we'll see for how long with him.
He essentially said, I misspoke. So Buccaneers are the number three seed. They've got the Panthers at 5-9. Saints are the number nine seed. They've got the Dolphins, who's 7-7. Saints are 7-7. Vikings are 7-7 in the seventh seed. That's a lot of sevens. And the Rams are 10-4, so that's what the Vikings have. So the Saints need to win, because they could essentially be swapping places with the Eagles or the Vikings. All right, so they're still mathematically in.
For anyone who's interested, that is the second time that Tom Brady has been shut out. The probably only Bills and Patriots fans remember this one, but the last time was opening week of 2003, after Bill Belichick joined the Bills immediately, and the Bills won 31-0 in a game where Tom Brady threw four interceptions. But that again goes to show the greatness of Brady, in that his two shutouts are almost 19 years apart.
I mean, who's keeping track at this point, man? The guy's going to play till he's 100. All right. Raiders. It wasn't pretty, but Tricky Nicky didn't get the win. I'm a big Nick Mullins fan. I like the guy. But the Raiders won 16-14. They moved to 7-7. The Browns moved to 7-7. I can't tell the difference between Nick Mullins and Baker Mayfield. Maybe they should let Mullins continue to start. The game was just what it was. I mean, there's a lot of COVID stuff. So it was hard to even know who the hell was playing before the game started. And I think some people wanted it postponed longer. The NFL had said at the beginning of the year that these situations were supposed to be forfeits. And yet we let them play, or they let them play. Browns.
Right. They're not going to let anybody forfeit unless there's just absolutely no other choice.
So the Browns are number 12 right now, and the Raiders are number 10, both at 7-7. Browns have the Packers, who are 11-3, and the Raiders have the Broncos, who are 7-7. To give you an idea of how this game went, the Browns dropped four spots because they lost. The Raiders jumped two spots because they won.
I mean, I think we can just say neither of these teams is going to be in the playoffs. Like, Cleveland's offense, whether Baker's out there or not, I mean, three of their last four, I mean, the overall over under was under, I believe, 30 points. Like, there's just no scoring in their games. The defense, you know, credit to them for continuing to battle. Again, I think Myles Garrett is the defensive player of the year to this point. But, yeah, they've got green. Yeah, like you said, Green Bay, the Steelers, Bengals to end the season. They're not winning two of those games. So goodbye, Browns. And if you still have any faith in the Raiders, you know, God bless you, anyone out there. But that team's not winning two out of three against the Broncos, Colts, and Chargers either. So bon voyage.
So we have three games left, and only four of the teams are worth talking about as it goes to the playoffs. So Rams are in a position to, and that was last night's game, Rams are in a position to potentially win the division and jump a couple spots. And Eagles are 7-7, right behind the Vikings, who are 7-7. Washington John Does are 6-8, so they need to win out. And then the Vikings are 7-7. They played the Bears. So we've kind of got this situation here where, in this case, in the NFC, every game's going to matter going forward for those four teams.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Again, yeah, Green Bay is the only team in the entire NFL that has clinched a playoff spot, and we only have 3 weeks left. I believe that's like historic, and that's even going back to, you know, that's not talking about like 14 games in the 16 game season. I'm talking about just with 3 weeks left in any season. I believe I read that that's like the first time that's happened, or one of the few times. So these last few weeks are going to be awesome. You know, the Rams look relatively right again. You know, it wasn't a gorgeous win, 20-10 over Seattle, but, you know, again, Seattle, even if they haven't looked quite right pretty much this entire season, it's still with Russell Wilson out there. You only gave up 10 points. Stafford did have a pick. They took four sacks. It wasn't amazing, but this team's grinding out wins. And I continue to be a believer in the Los Angeles Rams.
So we've got a situation here where the Rams are playing the Vikings at 7-7. That's going to be a tough matchup. But the Eagles seem to have it pretty easy with the Giants at 4-10. No pun intended. And then the Cowboys are taking on the Washington John Doe. So, I mean, the Eagles are in a nice spot right now because the other two opponents have top five teams that they've got to go against.
Yeah, and, you know, all due respect to my Giants, who did beat the Eagles a few weeks back, I'm not counting on winning the turnover battle by, I believe, is four turnovers again, especially since it's going to be Jake Fromm starting. So, yeah, if you're the Eagles, yeah, you've got the Giants in Washington next 2 weeks. It's all in your hands. You should make the playoffs. Will they? I have no idea. I can't say I trust this Eagles team, but they should make the playoffs with those two teams on their schedule.
They're delicate flowers and they're sprouting, okay?
So hey, it worked, man. It worked.
Whatever Bob Ross said to them inspired them for sure. All right, so next week, what's your game of the week that you're looking forward to?
I mean, it's hard to go against Patriots-Bills.
It's not.
You know, the rematch, obviously, the Bills are hoping there will not be a Giants snow storm this week. So, but yeah, I think that game's deciding the division more than likely. So I think that's got to be my number one.
Boring. Just because Justin Jefferson said he wanted all the smoke with Jalen Ramsey at the beginning of the year, I'm looking forward to the Rams-Vikings and looking forward to bumping that post, hopefully, when he was like, I want to take on Jalen Ramsey. All right, well, you'll get your chance.
Is Ramsey, do we know, is he going to be back for that game? Because I know he's missed the last couple of games.
Man, he better be back, man. Look, they already extended the COVID thing for them once. They should be all right. He should be all right. If not that.
And then we do have Cardinals Colts as well. I think that's the third game.
Give me Cardinals Colts. But we will be back next week with a more clear playoff picture, maybe, I hope. But if not, we'll try to make sense of it. And of course, with our awesome takes on shitty play calling. Good. You can say shitty. It's okay. It's our show.
No, it wasn't great. I'm just, you know me. I'm just rooting for, give me Staley and Reich. Those are my guys. Aggressive on fourth downs. I want Colts Chargers in the playoffs. That's what I'm rooting for.
All right, man. Take care. Merry Christmas, everybody.
And Merry Christmas.